Welcome to What's Cooking with Paula Deen. It's all Paula, her dearest friends and family, celebrity chat, special guests, and questions from you.
Y'all, Home Chef is a meal delivery service. They send you and your family a box of fresh ingredients each week with perfectly portioned premium ingredients, spices, and sauces, and easy step-by-step recipes. You know, with all the prep work done, you get to cook delicious gourmet meals in under 30 minutes. Meals like a Dijon bone-in pork chop, Italian chicken in a lemon butter sauce, and shrimp maki sushi rolls are just a few of the boxes Home Chef sends out weekly. Customers love it because it takes so much hassle out of meal prep. I'd love for y'all to try this out. And all you have to do is go to homechef.com/Paula Deen. That's homechef.com/Paula Deen. Use the promo code Paula Deen at checkout. You'll get a $30 discount off your first box and help support my new podcast.
To ask Paula a question, just visit pauladeen.com and include your phone number if you'd like to chat. Now, let's go see what's cooking with Paula today.
Y'all, I have got a very special guest here in the studio with me this morning. He's a good friend of mine, and he is the ice cream king here in Savannah, Georgia, Stratton Leopold.
Paula, it's great being here. I am so excited.
Thank you, Stratton. I always love every minute that I get to spend with you.
Same here.
Stratton has got the best ice cream in town, y'all. And this business is almost 100 years old, isn't it, Stratton?
96 years now. In fact, we just finished a creamery, so we're going to expand now. I can ship nationally.
Wonderful. Was it your father or your grandfather?
My father and his older brother, my uncle.
Started Leopold's.
In 1919.
In 1919. Unbelievable. I'd say y'all got it down pat by now.
I tell you what, it's his recipes. We won't change them ever.
No. But you've added so many new flavors.
Yes, but the basic recipe is the same, but we've added flavors. And everything natural, everything just really good.
What's your favorite flavor,
Stray? It changes. I mean, I like butter pecan one day, and I say pecan instead of pecan.
Yes, it's P-E-C-A-N,
pecan.
Right? Pecan.
That's correct. Anyway, caramel swirl, sometimes tutti frutti, of course. It just depends.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you can go in there any time of day, and you'll just find the finest ice cream here in Savannah, Georgia. But other than the ice cream, man, Stratton is famous here in Savannah for the ice cream, y'all. But Stratton has led the most interesting life, like from one pole to the other. And you may recognize his name in connections with some great films. Stratton has been a Hollywood producer now for quite a few years.
Quite a few.
Give us some of your films that you've done, Stratton.
It's been about 35 years now. I ran away to Hollywood a while back. But I never left Savannah. I always came back.
So
always. And love ice cream. But no, I did Mission Impossible 3. I did The Sum of All Fears. I did The Wolfman, the most recent one a couple of years ago. Just a bunch of pictures. I was at Paramount for about 12 years. I had an office there.
Wow.
And I was a vice president there for a short while. Corporate didn't agree with me. I'd rather go out and produce movies.
Well, you know, I was invited to be in one movie in my lifetime, and that was Elizabethtown. And Tom Cruise was one of the producers.
And Paula Wagner was as well.
Yes. What a thrill. So I got to meet Tom and, you know, all the wonderful folks that had to do with that film. And I know you have worked closely with Tom.
Yes. Well, every film I do, I'll ship ice cream to the set.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And always try to get either a sign or a truck or something in the film. Now, Tom and J.J. Abrams, who directed Mission Impossible 3, Tom's favorite flavor is chocolate chip. That's what he kept asking for. In fact, we shipped some to him. Not this past Thanksgiving before, to London. He was filming there, and he wanted ice cream.
So
we shipped a bunch of it to London.
And it was still frozen.
It went to New York and then by private jet over. But yes, it was still very frozen. But anyway, in Mission Impossible 3, they surprised me, Tom and J.J., in the bridge set, which we built, it was a big, big action scene in the movie. I go on the set, and there's a Leopold's ice cream truck.
No.
They had the logo, and they're both sitting there. Tom is smiling at me. And I said, but you can't blow it up, guys. And they didn't. Tom runs past it.
So a Leopold's trucking, but you wouldn't allow him to
blow up your business. No, can't do that.
Tom's
that
favorite,
Tom.
chocolate chip, y'all.
And
so that's the way to Tom Cruise's heart.
That's it.
Ship him some chocolate chip, y'all. Well, what was your favorite movie that you ever did, Stratton?
They're all great in their own way. A movie called The Sum of All Fears. We did it a bunch of years ago. It's a good movie. I mean, it was a hard movie to make, very difficult.
But why so?
Prep time was most of it. We really had a lot to do in a short period of time. It was Morgan Freeman. It was.
I love him.
A wonderful man. Ben Affleck was in it. That's when I first met Ben. Uh-huh. Known Ben 15 years now.
Wow.
And then early on, I had the good fortune. I didn't produce it, to work on a movie called Wise Blood, which we filmed in Macon, Georgia.
I've not seen that one either.
It's a Flannery O'Connor novel. Uh-huh. John Huston was a director. I learned more from him and Tommy Shaw. Tommy had been his producer and first AD since African Queen. I learned more from those two men than you can imagine. It was just school for me.
Wow. Wow, isn't that wonderful that you have opportunities to learn from these old-timers, that...
The true people that started the industry in many ways. Yes.
And I don't think you can go to school and learn some of those things. Mm-hmm. It's like that on-the-job training.
On-the-job training and from the folks who have done it and done it well for so long.
Yes. Well, what have you got coming up? What exciting, besides a new flavor at Leopold's
besides
ice cream?
Okay, well, and the film thing, there are two movies. At this stage in my career, I want to make movies that are meaningful.
Yes.
I just optioned a book. It's called In the Sanctuary of Outcasts. It's a very interesting story. True story, happened 20 years ago. A fellow in Oxford, Mississippi, Neil White is his name. It's his story, and he wrote the book that we're doing the screenplay for.
And Neil, what is his name?
Neil White. The story is Neil started publishing magazines, had failed at first and became very successful, had four magazines, bought New Orleans Magazine. He was in Biloxi and Gulfport, was doing very well, living very large, got into a little bit of a financial problem and started doing some things he shouldn't have and got caught at doing it. So the story is this. Neil is a wonderful, wonderful man. He got sent to a minimum security prison in Carville, Louisiana, which was one half prison, one half the United States leper colony. I'm not kidding you.
What?
Yes. In Carville, that's where the leper colony for the U.S. was. 20 years ago, it's still there. I mean, I was there about 3 weeks ago. They call it Hansen's disease now. But with the new sulfonates, with the new drugs, most of them are at home. They can be at home. I met two fellows still at Carville, but now it's been taken over by the National Guard. But still, the story is how his life was changed by interacting. And what the audience has to realize, too, what we want to do is show the character arc of Neil, how he was this high and mighty doing, and all of a sudden he became a wonderful human being. He's a wonderful man. And this is the interaction with the lepers. What the audience has to do is realize at first, lepers, oh my goodness, stay away, stay away. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the movie, they have to love them because they're wonderful people.
And so you are hoping to make a movie of Neil White's story.
I'll have a screenplay in a couple of months.
Oh, good.
And then,
now, how long? That sounds like, I mean, you don't hear of leprosy anymore.
You don't hear of it, no.
How interesting would that be just for us to find out that that still exists?
It
that
does.
Disease still exists.
In my meeting with the two folks that are still there and talking to the folks at Carville, the only vector other than in fact, it's not infectious, first of all, but the only vector they know of are armadillos. Armadillos can be infected with leprosy. And if you eat infected armadillo meat, you may contract it. Now, what they were telling me was that only 5% of humanity is susceptible to leprosy. And of that 5%, even then it gets even smaller, depending on your immune system. You may not get it. Mm-hmm. But it's not as prevalent as it was, and the prevalence is not seen because of the drugs now.
Yeah. Well, do people eat armadillos?
Some people, I guess, do. I've only seen one time, frankly.
It just doesn't look like a food that a potential food that I'd want to put on my table.
I don't think you'd want to cook one, Paula.
No, I don't think so.
There's no way to make it look appetizing.
No.
I don't think.
No. Well, I wanna get that. I'd love to get that book on tape. I wonder if he reads it himself.
I don't.
Or is it out on tape?
It is on tape. I don't know if he reads it.
Well, I'm gonna check that out.
I'll bring Neil to Savannah sometime.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I would love to meet him.
Wonderful man.
I'm going to take a quick break, Stratton, because I've got an interesting message out there for all the folks that's joined us today. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
What's in season this week, y'all? Well, it's blueberries. My blueberry bushes are loaded, and they're just sitting there growing and turning more purplish every day, waiting on my grandchildren to come pick them. You know, whether I'm making them blueberry muffins, blueberry pancakes, or blueberry waffles, or a blueberry cobbler, they are all in. If you want to learn some more recipes for using those beautiful fresh blueberries, just go to pauladean.com. I got a blueberry blog over there, and hopefully you'll find something that you were looking for right on the nose. Well, hey, y'all, I'm back here in the studio with a dear friend of mine, Stratton Leopold, the ice cream man, but also the Hollywood producer, film producer. And he just shared with us an upcoming project that he's working on, and that is In the Sanctuary of Outcasts.
Yes.
By Neil White. And I sure hope that you can do this film. I didn't even know leprosy still existed.
It's about change in a person. It's about change in people, which is interesting.
The changes that Neil himself went through.
Yes, and the perception of lepers, a change in the audience, a change that they'll feel.
Yes. Well, you said that you're working on two things, so
yes,
that's one.
That's one.
What's the other one?
The other one is called Charlie Two Shoes. Again, it's a true story.
And I love true stories.
Same here.
Love true stories.
Same here. The movies I've made at Paramount are good films, and all, but I love these stories that have meaning.
Yes.
This one, in 1945, a group of U.S. Marines, after fighting on Iwo Jima and all the Pacific, were sent into a village near Qingdao, China. They were sent there for two reasons. The Japanese would not surrender to the Chinese. The war was over at this point, because the Chinese, because of what they did to them, would have decimated them. The second reason was to be peacekeepers, because Mao Zedong was fighting Chiang Kai-shek. Well, the children in this village had never seen many Westerners. So the children were all just agog. Who are these really giants here?
Different-looking folks.
Mm-hmm. But this one kid stood out among all of them. They called him Charlie. They couldn't pronounce his name. Tsui is his last name. That became Two Shoes. He would, before he spoke English, he would gather firewood to barter for K rations to feed his parents. He was a good kid.
Mm.
They took a liking to him. In Qingdao, which was a village then, there was a convent. The nuns came back after the war and started school. The Marines pulled their money and sent him to school. So they made him a little Marine. He became a Roman Catholic. He spoke English. The Marines were there for 4 years. During the time they were there, he did everything with them, and they gave him rations for the family. He was a wonderful, wonderful kid. 1949 rolls around. The Marines have to leave because Mao Zedong won. Chiang Kai-shek lost. The parents said, "You have to take him with you." They said, "No, we can't." Captain Robertson was head of that company. He died recently as a general in a corps. Can't do it. He has no relatives. This is where the story starts, really. The story is this. The Marines come back. They had photographs. They start their own families. They tell their kids, "Be like this kid. He was a great kid." No contact with Charlie. Back in China, the communists go to him and say, "You have an unclean record because of your relationship with the Americans. You have to renounce it." He said, "I can't. These guys are my brothers." 7 years in prison, solitary confinement. He tried to escape. They caught him back in prison. They finally let him out. They allow him to marry. Jin Mi, his wife, was an educator prior to marrying Charlie. Now she can't get a job. because of him. He's just scratching out, barely living, just scratching out an existence. They built a little house in a village, had three kids. I've been to the house. I've shot documentary footage.
You have been to
him. I have been there. I've been to China with him. To call it a hovel is being grand, is being kind. We were literally crying. This is where they built it in their living and had three children there. Back in the U.S., the Marines assume he's dead. They have no contact. One day in the village in China, one of Charlie's friends comes to him and says, there's an American president in China, when President Nixon was over.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh my goodness, it can't be. Yes, here's a newspaper. He's here. So he goes to the authorities to get permission to write letters. They give him permission. His mother had burned his address book long before. Charlie prays to remember the addresses. He starts writing letters. One gets through to a man named Don Bullard, who's a hog farmer in North Carolina. Don told me, he's gone too, but Don told me, I fell down crying. He's alive. Now, in the United States, we're up to about 1979, 1980 now. The Chinese have opened an embassy in Washington. You have this group of middle-aged men, these Marines from across the country, all getting together in Washington, going to the Chinese embassy to get a permission for Charlie to come over with the family. They try for about a year. 1980 rolls around. We're almost mid-1980, 81. The Chinese finally give him permission. Now the Americans say no. The Americans say, we're not going to let him in. He doesn't have relatives. And it got to the point, now President Reagan is in office, and it got to the point, there's a U.S. congressman, also a Marine, who's still alive, North Carolina, Nick Galifianakis. It's the actor's uncle. Zach's uncle is who it is. He gets involved and gets it to President Reagan. President Reagan makes it happen. Charlie and his family came over.
No.
The kind of man Charlie is. In fact, I was asked to speak to the DAR on the 4th of July about patriotism. I spoke about Charlie.
Really?
I did, because what he has done, he had a successful restaurant. He sold it. The profit has gone into a fund to help any Marine who's down on his luck. Any money he makes from us, from a feature, from a movie, goes into the same fund.
No.
He's a true patriot. He truly is.
Oh. And how would he be today?
He's 87, 88 right now.
No.
Yeah, he's about this tall. He's a little tiny, but he's a wonderful, wonderful man. Wonderful man.
Still alive.
Oh, yes. Very. In fact, the College of the Ozarks had him speak at the commencement, give him an honorary doctorate.
Oh, my goodness.
An amazing patriot.
What a wonderful man.
Yes. I'd love for you to meet him at some point.
I would love to meet him. If only we could be as good as what's in his little finger.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh.
Truly a wonderful man.
And Stratton, I have to say that you told the story so beautifully. What you just shared with my friends and myself, I was able to follow it along. Thank you for sharing that
story. Well, it comes from the heart, Paula, because it's truly, I mean, I have such respect for him.
And he still goes by the last name Two Shoes.
Oh, yes, he goes by Two Shoes as well.
Wow.
Oh, and his children, the oldest is a chef, Chinese chef. The middle son is a podiatrist. The daughter, who recently got married, works for free at the VA as a pharmacist, giving back.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my goodness. Well, these two stories that you're working on, I just hope they happen. Because in the times that we're in right now in our country,
we need it.
We need those stories.
I agree.
To remind us of how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope and pray that you get the opportunity to share those.
I will do everything I can, Paula.
That is
so
wonderful.
Important.
With Stratton, good luck, honey.
Thank you.
Because there's some things going on in this country that are kind of mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are. We need to be uplifted.
Yes,
we need to see values, see what values of patriotism, see what values are about.
Yes, yes, I agree. Well, that is wonderful. We're going to take another short break, okay. Stratton. And I just love you, my dear friend.
Thank you. Love you too as well, Paul. I can't wait to talk more with you. We'll talk about other things. Ice cream.
We'll talk about
the heat of summer.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, y'all. The heat is already unbearable here in Savannah. But we'll be right back and clue y'all in on all that. You know, have you found yourself always being predictable? Surprises are exciting. And right now, Pro Flowers is here to help us. You can show that special person how much you care with an exclusive offer for my listeners. 100 spring blooms plus a free glass vase for $19.99. Plus, they're throwing in a box of gourmet chocolates. You can double the blooms for just $9.99 more. That's 200 blooms, a vase, and chocolates for just $29.98. Sometimes the best reason to send flowers is for no reason at all. Now, the only way to get this exclusive deal for my listeners is go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner, and type in cookie. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in cookie.
It's time again for Paula's Quick Tips.
Making a tender pork chop is really an art, y'all. And today I'm going to tell you how I make one just right. And it really starts with choosing the right cut. If you're pan frying or grilling your chops, try a fattier cut like a blade chop. But if you're breading it and baking it, you need a little leaner cut like a top loin chop. Now you also have to choose whether you want a bone-in or boneless chop. Bone-in chops tend to be a little bit juicier. Now that you've selected your cut, use a meat tenderizer to soften it up. By meat tenderizer, I mean that good old mallet. Then all you have to do is coat it with your favorite seasoning and throw it in the fryer or saute it in a little olive oil, and you're ready to get cooking. Today, let's make some delicious garlic grilled tomatoes. We're going to cut 4 ripe red tomatoes just in half and season them with my house seasoning, you know, which is the salt, pepper, garlic, salt, onion powder. Heat 3 tablespoons of olive oil in a small frying pan over about medium heat, and then add in 5 cloves of minced garlic. Cook until it's golden brown. Pour the garlic and oil mixture into a bowl and oil your grill and turn it up to high. Now you'll want to place your tomatoes cut side down on the grill for about 4 minutes and then flip them over and add your oil and your garlic mixture on top while they cook for another 3 minutes. Top with 2 tablespoons of fresh thyme, a little bit more house seasoning, and some shredded Parmesan cheese. Yum, delicious. Today I'm going to teach you how to make a delicious honeydew cucumber mint smoothie. You know, it's ideal for these warm spring afternoons. The flavors are so light and fresh, and you're just gonna really, really like this. First, you peel and cube your honeydew. You'll need about 3 cups. Then chop up 1 cup of English cucumbers. The English cucumber is that long, skinny, burpless one that you'll find in your produce section. And a tablespoon of fresh mint leaves. Now add it all to a blender with 2 tablespoons of honey and 1 tablespoon of lime juice. Add 2 cups of ice cubes and blend it just until it's smooth. Pour them into glasses and garnish with a slice of cucumber and a sprig of mint. Your friends are gonna thank you for this refreshing spring supper. It's definitely grilling season, so all you men, I know you're ready to show off your skills. I know Michael sure is. He wants to impress even the pickiest guest with our delicious chicken on the grill. I just start with a whole chicken that's been cut in half and then cut into smaller pieces. I would cut them in quarters. Just season them with salt and pepper and wait for the coals to be kind of a white hot and spread them out so that the heat's evenly distributed. Put the chicken on the grill with the larger, fattier pieces in the center because they take the longest to cook, like your legs and thighs. Now just brush some of my Paula Deen barbecue sauce on the chicken and rotate. And when the leaner pieces finish cooking, move them to the outer edge of the grill, brush on a little more sauce, and serve up a perfect summertime meal. I bet most of y'all are looking for a lighter fare to grill up this summer, right? Try this grilled tuna with an olive tapenade. First, let's make the tapenade. combine a half a cup of chopped and pitted Kalamata olives, a half a cup of chopped green olives with the pimientos, a tablespoon of chopped fresh thyme, a teaspoon of fresh oregano, and a tablespoon of capers with 1 tablespoon of olive oil, a teaspoon of lemon juice, and a tablespoon of chopped sun-dried tomatoes that have been packed in oil. Now, just spray your grill rack with a non-stick cooking spray while it preheats to a medium-high heat. Now season your 1-inch thick tuna fillet with salt and pepper, and then grill them about 3 minutes on each side. Top it with your tapenade and enjoy.
Join us each week for 5 super easy tips that'll make your life in the kitchen so much easier and more fun.
Okie doke, y'all. We're back with our ice cream man, Stratton Leopold. And he just told 2 wonderful stories that he's working on, y'all. But what he's working on today is more ice cream.
Keeping cool in the summer.
It's hot.
It is.
For 2 weeks, we've had heat waves here in Savannah, haven't we, Stratton?
We sure have.
And I bet that's increased ice cream sales, hasn't it?
It does, and it's interesting. If it gets too hot, people stay home, too, because it's too hot to get out.
Yeah.
Plus, they don't want to stand in line, and I don't blame them in the heat. But we try to give them water and things in line to keep them happy, at least.
Yes, I know when I used to be down at 311, you know, that restaurant was much smaller than our home now. And I got a big bird bath and filled it up with ice water and mint and lemons because it would get so hot, I was afraid somebody was going to pass out. So I always wanted to make sure there was plenty of cups and ice cold water out there for them to drink. We're back in it. We're back in this heat. It's like it's been the high 90s for like 2 weeks,
hasn't it? Yes, it has.
So when's it going to break?
Hopefully soon. But it may not. It's just hot. It's a hot summer.
It's hot. It's hot.
But there are ways to beat the heat, too, Paul.
Well, tell me how,
Stratton. Just thinking. I mean, think you can be sitting by the pool.
Yes.
Get an ice-cold ginger ale.
Yes.
Get some of our sorbet, put it in it, and just enjoy that. That'll cool you down.
Oh. You know, that reminds me of my first marriage. When I got married, Mama just had a little reception at the house because my daddy was sick. And she made the ginger ale lime sherbet ice cream punch. And so that sounds like, and that was my favorite punch of all times. I had requested that Mama make that. So ginger ale and like sorbet.
Well, we make a fresh lemon sorbet. We make lime as well, but a fresh lemon in the summer is really good. It cools you down. It's a good tart flavor.
So ginger ale and your lemon sorbet.
Yes.
I'm coming to get some.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to come get me some lemon sorbet.
And ice cream as well, but the sorbet, putting it into something, really, really cools you.
Oh, I want to try.
Make a raspberry sorbet, too. That'll go.
My grandson, Jack, is one of your
loyal
customers.
I see him.
And raspberry is his favorite. Mm-hmm. Raspberry. What's his daddy? What's his daddy's favorite,
Jamie? He changes flavors. He'll eat this one time and this the other time. He changes them.
And how about little Maddie?
Maddie's favorite, I think, is chocolate. I think it is.
Okay.
Yes.
And Brooke, does my daughter-in-law have a favorite?
I don't know if she does. I'm sure she does, but
she's had a few different ones. Yeah, they're like me. It's hard to pin them down to one favorite. Although that butter pecan, I'm telling you, it'll make your tongue want to slap your brains out, honey.
I told the Commissioner of Agriculture, Gary's a friend, and I said, you know, I used to say pecan, but then Paula corrected me.
Well, it's spelled P-E-C-A-N, pecan. And I actually was doing a show with Mr. Jimmy, President Jimmy Carter, and he pronounces it pecan. And I said, now, Mr. Jimmy, you and I were raised 35 miles from each other. Maybe he called it pecan. I said, and I call it pecan. So what's going on here? He said, well, Paula, there's actually 4 correct pronunciations. Pecan.
Well,
so you're right, no matter what you call
it. Coming from the president, I guess that is correct.
Yes.
Actually, his favorite is butter pecan.
Is it?
I have a photograph of him having some of ours because Jill Stuckey took some up.
Yes, Jill is a good friend of ours.
She's wonderful.
And let me ask you this, Stratton. You know, I in 2012. we started a foundation, and we decided to name my foundation after the Bag Lady, my first little business. So the Paula Deen Bag Lady Foundation was formed to help women, mainly women and their children, if they have any, to just reach out and give them a hand. Mm. We go to a lot of places all over the U.S. and try to help out different establishments. It's just a wonderful feeling. But what you just said about Jill Stuckey brings me... Are you on the board of the Bag Lady Foundation?
Yes.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, that's
thank you for asking.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's such a worthy cause.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And, you know, she just needs all the help that she can get, all the brain power that she can get. We're getting ready to have a big function in Lake Oconee in August.
Let's have ice cream there.
Yes, let's do.
Yeah, we can take one of our portable.
That would be wonderful. Well, Susan Green, everybody knows her probably as Bubbles, also is on the foundation board. And so she got this big function kicked off, and it's going to be so much fun.
Well, you know, we as a company enjoy doing so much like that. We work a lot with the military as well.
Yes, yes.
In fact, I'm going to be made an honorary ranger.
Are you really Stratton?
Next month, I am.
Congratulations.
I was so surprised and so honored, really.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I've got another friend out there that I consider him so dear, and that's Lee Greenwood. Mm. And Lee works with the injured warriors.
What we do is when they're deployed, especially, we have ice cream parties for the children and the family and the wives.
Oh, how wonderful.
I have a little story about the Rangers that surprised me.
Please do tell.
I met a Captain Edward Graham, who was commander of one of the companies. He's left Savannah. He's probably come back as a major or lieutenant colonel. He loves Savannah. Well, Major, probably now, Edward Graham is a grandson of Billy Graham. Here you have someone who could do anything in the world he wants to do, and he's giving back in that manner. Oh, I have such respect for that.
How wonderful.
Yes.
How wonderful. I had the pleasure of meeting Billy Graham's daughter, Ruth. I was actually doing my first live show in Pigeon Forge where we just opened up our restaurant. And Ruth came to the green room and met me, and she had the neatest little apron that she had made. So I called Ruth up on stage to model this apron, this strapless apron. It just kind of clamped around you, you know, had the metal. Such sweet people.
Yeah.
Just such sweet people.
Giving back so much.
Yes, yes. Mm. Well, you know, if we have been blessed, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to share our blessings.
Yes. Well, let's talk about ice cream, Paula.
Let's talk about ice cream.
Something specifically. I was on your show one time, and we made chocolate things.
Yes,
remember
we
that?
Did. I do remember.
I remember we made you made that first one, the appetizer, like a little. It was like, if you can imagine, a cheese ball made with chocolate and made with pecans and marshmallows. You had me shaping it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes. Remember that shape we were doing?
Yes,
there?
Shaping that ball.
Oh yeah.
And then what happens?
And then what happened? I started making a little reaction a little bit to it. I was so excited about doing that shaping. But then after that, you knew something had happened. And then when we made my father's hot fudge, I remember you looked at the camera and you said, "Now, y'all, you got to come to Savannah. This is good. It's better than mine. Come to Savannah." Then you turned around and you licked me on the cheek. And then I licked you.
See, I've always said you were lickable.
Oh, well, I doubled down on you.
I
put my hand in the hot fudge and put it on your face.
Yes.
And licked it, and you put it on my face.
You licked all in my mouth.
Oh, it was all over the place.
And you know what? That got cut.
I know.
But it's in the bloopers.
I'd love to see it sometime.
Well, I'll see if I can't find it. But listen, not many people leave me speechless, y'all, but Stratton left me speechless that day because I got a dose of my own medicine.
That was so much fun.
We had a big time. It was fun. I always love filming with you. You are just one of the neatest people here in town, and I'm so glad that you never truly left Savannah.
You can't leave Savannah once you're here.
You're one of Savannah's treasures.
Likewise, Paula.
I just love every minute that I get to spend with you.
Me too.
Thank you so much, Stratton, for
Thank
being
you.
Here with us today.
Thank you.
And if y'all are in Savannah, you got to take a stroll down Broughton Street and stop at Leopold's Ice Cream. There's a good chance that Stratton will be there behind the counter.
Or if you're not here, we can ship to you now.
Okay. Now,
Just
do
check
you have
website.
A website?
Check the website, leopoldsicecream.com.
Leopoldsicecream.com.
Starting in July, we'll be shipping.
Starting in July, you'll
Two
be
weeks.
Shipping way to go. Shipping. Do you ship out to Wilmington Island Road?
I can deliver there easily.
You know, we had a wedding out on our house lawn, and naturally there was Leopold there with his ice cream truck that people enjoyed.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, thanks so much, darling.
Thank you, Paul.
All of Savannah loves you, and thank you for accepting the role of the Bag Lady Board.
That's so important.
She needs help, and there's many women out there that are counting on me to help them if I'm able.
Well, we will help everyone we can, I know, and it's so important.
Thank you, Stratton. Can I ask you one thing before you go?
What's that, Paul?
Could you give me Tom Cruise's phone number?
Step outside the studio and let's see what we can do.
Maybe we can work it out.
We can work it out, I think. Yeah, I'm sure
Bye,
we can.
Stratton.
Come on. Bye-bye, Paula. Thank you.
Y'all, Home Chef is a meal delivery service. They send you and your family a box of fresh ingredients each week with perfectly portioned premium ingredients, spices and sauces, and easy step-by-step recipes. You know, with all the prep work done, you get to cook delicious gourmet meals in under 30 minutes. Meals like a Dijon bone-in pork chop, Italian chicken in a lemon butter sauce, and shrimp maki sushi rolls are just a few of the boxes Home Chef sends out weekly. Customers love it because it takes so much hassle out of meal prep. I'd love for y'all to try this out. And all you have to do is go to homechef.com/Paula Deen. That's homechef.com/Paula Deen. Use the promo code Paula Deen at checkout. You'll get a $30 discount off your first box and help support my new podcast. You know, have you found yourself always being predictable? Surprises are exciting, and right now, Pro Flowers is here to help us. You can show that special person how much you care with an exclusive offer for my listeners. 100 spring blooms plus a free glass vase for $19.99. Plus, they're throwing in a box of gourmet chocolates. You can double the blooms for just $9.99 more. That's 200 blooms, a vase, and chocolates for just $29.98. Sometimes the best reason to send flowers is for no reason at all. Now, the only way to get this exclusive deal for my listeners is go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner, and type in cookie. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in cookie.
Join us each week for What's Cooking with Paula Deen. It's your chance to ask her anything. Just visit pauladeen.com and include your phone number if you'd like the chance to talk with her live.